Well, hey, everyone. Here we are for this week's episode of The Boundless Show. I'm Lisa Anderson. Coming up later, I was just talking to the team here about how it's weird when we have a show for single people and we talk about sex. But we do it because we mix it up here at The Boundless Show. So later on, one of our counselors is actually going to answer a question from a guy who's kind of a little nervous just about his future sex life. I think he basically doesn't really know what to expect or where to go with that. And, you know, what does that look like? And so fortunately, MT Wilson is here to weigh in with some advice. And then for our culture segment, the fabulous Gary Thomas, friend of Boundless, is back. Speaking of sex, to talk about it is okay to have and anticipate okay sex. This idea that married sex is like one constant porn reel is a total joke. It's a fallacy. And so he's going to break it down and tell you what's real, separate the fact from the fiction. So always love it when Gary Thomas joins us. Also, very excited when this group joins us. We have Andrew, Brandon, and Ashley. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey.
Woo, woo. All right. Well, sex is for later in the show. So here we are talking about how to be.
Thank God.
Exactly. So here we are talking about how to be a mature Christian. What are the 10 marks of a mature Christian? This is off of an article that Hello Christian did. We'll link to it on the blog. But there are 10 things. We're not going to be able to delve into all of them, but let's go ahead and read just a few of them. The first one, the highs and lows of life don't impact your relationship with God. And I don't think it means that you're just like never shaken or whatever, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't take you out of your moorings, I would say. You find value in the dailiness and trivial seasons of life. You're at peace with situations beyond your control. You don't allow disciplines to take a back seat. You maintain a childlike sense of wonder and awe. You don't compare yourself with others. You listen to others who have a different viewpoint. Your goal is to grow and not just correct. Your heart breaks for the poor and marginalized. You understand Christianity doesn't have an on-off switch. I think that's a big one for our generation. And you have a sustainable rhythm to your life. As you guys read through this list and kind of thought it through, which ones jumped out at you? Any in particular that you thought, yeah, either, you know, yeah, that's what I would say is a mark of a mature Christian or something you want to grow in or both and?
I think you're at peace with situations beyond your control. Yeah. That one's always hard. Especially for me, I tend to worry.
That you can't put in a spreadsheet?
Yes, exactly. If I can't put it in an Excel sheet, if I can't put it into Microsoft Project, then there is something truly
wrong. Then you
wrong.
Wonder if God truly has control over
yes.
it.
Yes. So that, and that's hard because worry is, we know that that is a sin and it's something that we're not designed to do. And but at the same time, there's just, I don't know, your mind just starts playing. At least my mind goes crazy sometimes, and so then you start worrying about things that you expend all this energy and time on something that then you have no control over, and all you're doing is putting yourself into a bad spot. So I think as a mature Christian, that's something that, not that it's not going to happen, but something that should maybe not happen as frequently, or that you know kind of how to get out of and not let it consume you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think a lot of our Boundless listeners know, because I've referenced it a few times, I've been going through a study on basically life's disappointments, God helping you deal, and really a big chunk of the study is on meekness and studying meekness. And it's actually called As Silver Refined by Kay Arthur. So plug. Hey, Kay, you can send me money when you get a chance for that. But anyway, but it's really been a game changer. It talks a lot about not only meekness, but then what is understanding the sovereignty and the goodness of God? How does that play into that? And everything that happens to us is filtered through God's hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so now, and just actually yesterday, she had us back in Job, rereading Job, and just like, seriously, this guy could not do anything wrong. Not that he was sinless, I mean, but he just was tested and still did not curse God. He absolutely knew that whatever God chose to do, he could restore his fortune, he could wipe him out, he could kill him, he could keep him alive. It was all up to God, so.
I was kind of thinking about that yesterday because we had like a major windstorm here in the Springs and several trees were uprooted and fallen over. And I was just thinking about how that's so similar to like our spiritual lives, that sometimes really unexpected strong storms come. And in the moment, like a lot of times it could be tempting to just uproot your faith. And but when you're strong and like when you're deep in the word, then nothing can move you. And no matter how strong the winds are or how strong the storm is, that you're still exactly where God has planted you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Good. You know, it's funny because the same thing was happening to me. I actually got the wind woke me up at 2:30 a.m. I did not get back to sleep. And so last night was very trying. By the time I finished my work day, I was like dozing off at the computer. But my thought was, yeah, I mean, here's all this crazy wind, and it's like it got my attention. It kept me up, and it's kind of like the storms of life can mm-hmm. do that, too. They're a wake-up call. You know, we know C.S. Lewis says that about pain and stuff like that. But just to realize that we can choose to hide under the covers or medicate or do whatever we want to ignore it, or mm-hmm. we could say, what's God trying to teach me through this? I think that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, any others that stuck out to you?
Yeah, I think the one on, you know, not allowing the disciplines to take a back seat really mm-hmm. struck out to me. I think that maturity is really having certain things that you do every day and consistent. And even when you feel like, oh man, I've missed a few days of, you know, studying the word or prayer, that it's something that you quickly get back into. Mm-hmm. That it's kind of just something that you're like, every day I want to do these things consistently. And I feel like a lot of times we try to do these like sprints of devotion and mm-hmm. sprints of discipline, and then we kind of, you know, we get tired of it, like burn out mm-hmm. from it. But I think it's the small things that we do every day over years and decades that really form us. And I think that's something that the mature person is able to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to set a goal, and I'm going to accomplish it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I say that also knowing that in my own reading through the scripture, I've often done the best when I haven't set a time, like a specific, some people are like, oh, I'm going to read the Bible in a year, mm-hmm. which is great. Mm-hmm. But I do a lot better when I just am consistent about, I'm going to read every day mm-hmm. and I'll finish when I finish.
Yeah.
And so, because then it's like, if you do miss a couple of days, it's like, oh, I'm behind and now I've got to like catch up and
right.
like have this like all day Saturday catch up day. And
right.
And I think, yeah, building a plan where there's grace like built in yeah. Sometimes is helpful, especially when you're establishing that discipline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's also so great for us to just, and you know, it's taken me now decades to do this, is to just get real with ourselves. And like what you're saying about, you know, you can't just say, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. For me, it's like I have to be doing a study that has like homework in order for me to be in the Word. I am not this person that's like, sees my Bible, the one thing I want to do is just crack that thing open and start reading right now. No, the one thing I want to do is go sit on the couch and like play a game on my phone or something. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just be honest, Lisa, that's where you are. But I know that if I'm working through a study, and especially if I'm doing it alongside other people and we're coming out kind of talking through it and stuff, that's very helpful for me. The other thing that's been super helpful is just telling myself I'm getting up in the morning to do this. Mm-hmm. Then once I'm up, then it's like, yeah, okay, now I can do this. But when I'm competing, my affections are competing for sleep or for whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So that decision, I have to already make that decision. And then it's mm-hmm. good to go from there. So laziness. Mm-hmm. Just that's where I am. Yeah, what do you guys think about this, the whole thing of comparing ourselves with others? Because I think that's so easy to do, not even in the sense of like, obviously the obvious stuff is like social media and what we see other people doing and the exciting stuff and everything. But I think too, even in the spiritual sphere, when it's so easy to see what people are podcasting or who's written what blog post that's so awesome, and how come I don't have these awesome experiences mm-hmm. or I don't have these amazing insights like Ashley does into the wind, whatever, what's going on. I mean, how do you guys see us getting tripped up by that? Because I think being able to not compare yourself and mm-hmm. and truly, as we would say, you know, live for an audience of one, as we're always told to do. Easier said than done.
I love that one was on the list. That was one of the ones that kind of stood out to me, because I feel like it's so easy to look at other people, and even in like a way that makes you feel like you're better than people sometimes. Like if you've been a Christian for a long time, you think like, oh, I've kind of arrived, you know, I don't struggle with that anymore, or I have a scheduled devotions. But we really should be comparing ourselves to Christ and not to other people, because he sets the bar for perfection. And when we look at him, then we realize, wow, I'm so far off the mark. Just like Paul, I mean, if you watch like the progression of things that he wrote, 1 Corinthians, he wrote like, I'm the least of all the apostles. And then later in Ephesians, he said, I'm the least of all the saints. And then in 1 Timothy, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. He wasn't even talking about his past. He said, I am the chief of sinners. And just that when we're a mature Christian, we realize like, I don't have it all figured out. And I really am in desperate need of a savior still, even after all this time. And so I think that could be one area that's easy to get caught up in. Like, that's what the Pharisees' problem was. They thought that they had it so much better than all the other people because they knew the law. But when Jesus came, he didn't spend that much time with them. He spent time with the people who knew who they were. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing I was thinking. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, comparison is almost a form of legalism in mm-hmm. of itself, that you see people doing more, memorizing more scripture, you know, doing more things at their church, and mm-hmm. then you think, well, I'm not doing that, I need to start doing that. And so you start to hold yourself up to that standard of, it's not where you are in your faith necessarily as much as it's the outward, okay, now I'm doing this, or if that's how you're defining your maturity is through those acts, right. You know, that's a tough spot to be yeah. in as well. And just to recognize that God has put you on a journey. I mean, I've come to the realization probably over the last few years that would I have been where I wanted to be spiritually, you know, mm-hmm. even up to now? No. But mm-hmm. has God taken me on a journey that has revealed why I was on that journey and things that he's done in my life, and that I am here for a specific purpose or reason? You know, once I was able to kind of come to terms with that, it was a lot easier to say, okay, well, you know, I did make some, I think one of the other ones in here was, you know, Christianity, it shouldn't have an off and on switch. You know, mm-hmm. I lived my life for a time like it did have an on and off mm-hmm. switch, and I would just go in between. And so, you know, I made certain choices that kind of, you know, probably impacted that, but just to be okay to know that God forgave me and he mm-hmm. has me where I'm at. And, you know, it's not, like you say, it's not a race, it's not a competition, it's mm-hmm. just that one-on-one
yeah.
relationship.
Well, and it's just so exhausting.
It is.
I mean, we spend yeah. so much time figuring yeah. out what other people are doing and how we should be doing it that we're not even doing what God's telling us to do. Like that, just that next thing that God's put in front of you. You were saying that in another show, Andrew, that whole idea of like, what has God given you to do today? What, you know, mm-hmm. instead of looking at, you know, oh, well, I'm more concerned about what God's going to have me doing in 5 years. Well, you know what? Don't be, because you don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think for me, the thing that is really hard about comparison is it quickly digresses into ingratitude. Mm-hmm. And so the more we compare, the more we, in our hearts, wish that we had something that somebody else had. Mm-hmm. And it makes us ungrateful for what God's given us. And which I think really is the sin beneath a lot of sin, is just we aren't thankful to God for what he has given us. And I think this past year, I kind of, you know, as a discipline, started writing down in a thankfulness journal just like two or three things that I was thankful for that had happened in the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to me how corrective that was for my heart, where I started to see, wow, I don't think about this question very often. I don't think about what I'm thankful for. A lot of times when I draw near to God, I'm making lists of things that I want him to fix or change. Or I'm comparing myself to others. I mm-hmm. want what they have, instead mm-hmm. of spending my time with the Lord, thanking him for the way he's made me and the unique, you know, the unique things that he's given me. And so I just feel like that's the danger, is mm-hmm. that we, and I think it really builds on this kind of foundation of, we think that everything needs to be fair. Mm-hmm. And so most of us operate under this guise that, man, God needs to be fair to us. And so if he gives somebody else more than he gives me, mm-hmm. like, and I think Jesus corrected the disciples on that and said, what right? Doesn't God have the right to do it with his own, whatever he wants? Yeah. And kind of breaking them from this idea that life's going to be fair. Mm-hmm. Like, we all know that we could point out people that were not given the privilege that we were given. Mm-hmm. And that was just the way God did it. And so I think that those are two things, like when I think about comparison, that I quickly check, like, you know, am I, you know, being ungrateful for all that God's given to me?
Yeah, good point. All right, this one I think is a great one for the millennial generation. Your heart breaks for the poor and marginalized. This is one of those things that's just like, so big, it like drives me batty. Like, you know, again, it's like, yeah, okay, the poor and the marginalized, like there is so much in the world that is broken and that, you know, it's one of those things where you feel like you want to wrap your arms around everything that's bad, like all the disadvantaged, all the, you know, and then I think it's easy to get into comparison then too, because I think of various friends, you know, that have adopted kids in Africa or have gone and done something. I mean, there, I have a friend who's like going to Uganda like all the time, you know, and doing all kinds of stuff and everything. And I'm like, but what am I doing? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. How do we take the worry and the cares and the responsibility we have for what's going on in the world and make it something, because again, I think we can also fall into the trap of, oh, well, that's okay because I like this cause on Facebook, or I bought some fair trade coffee, or I, you know, and then we call that caring too. How do we actually internalize care for those who are poor and then do something about it as God's calling us to do it? What does that look like for you guys?
I think that there are different types of poverty and that God specifically puts you in a place to reach a certain kind. Like for you, Lisa, I'd say you're helping people who are spiritually poor. Like you're infusing truth into people's lives through this podcast and through your ministry that other people can't do. And so you're speaking to a specific need with the gifts that God's given you. And then for other people, like maybe a pastor or, you know, a business person, or there's different jobs in different places that God's put us to reach different kinds of needs. Mm-hmm. And so I think the best thing to do is start by looking around at the people you know and the people right in front of you. Mm-hmm. Like maybe your neighbor, maybe mm-hmm. they're struggling in their marriage and you can hear them fighting through the walls or something, and just figuring out how you can encourage them where they are poor or where they're needy. Because mm-hmm. Sometimes poverty isn't just like a lack of money or a lack of resources, but it's something even deeper. And that's a unique way that Christians can reach out that nobody else can meet that need. So that's my thought.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we look at this question, we immediately feel guilty and feel like, oh man, like I'm not doing enough. Like there's so much poverty. There's so many people that are hurting in the world. And I think that really asking the Lord to show us how he would have us serve the poor that are in our sphere, and just really saying, I want to do what you're calling me to do, and seeing that God has prepared specific work for us to do, and that he's going to give us the right heart to do that, and to not need to like help everybody. Mm-hmm. To, like, don't let the overwhelming size of the problem keep you from doing your bit. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes that can help, is like, it's like the little boy on the seashore who's throwing, you know, starfish back in. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And somebody says to him like, oh, you know, you're not making a difference. There's so many of them. And he says, well, it made a difference to that one. Mm-hmm. I probably butchered that story, but, but you know, I think that's, you know, when we have the whole church with that attitude of I'm going to make a difference to one person, or I'm going to do something, or maybe even every year as you're setting resolutions or thinking about the year, how am I going to push myself to do more than I did last year to help the disenfranchised, the marginalized, the poor, and just always be pushing yourself to do a little bit more?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of, you know, Ashley, to your point, you know, I get to come and do this podcast and talk to young adults, and that's fun. And I do have friends that say, you know, well, Lisa, you do this awesome job and you do whatever. But then I also remember that something else I'm called to do is with my mom living with me. Mm-hmm. I, you know, help her put her shirt on in the morning, you know, and I help, you know, cook her dinner and stuff like that. And so for a season, and again, some things are just in seasons that we're called to do, you know, and that is one of my callings too. And to not think of that as any less than, oh, doing a podcast and talking to all these people, you know.
Yeah. And I think that we also need to see an opportunity in the church coming alongside of people that are in that place of caretaking, or who are adopting, or all these things that are like, we think, oh man, what a big thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, what if everybody in the church saw my role is not only to do that at some point, but to come alongside and support and be a support to people that are doing that hard work, you know? And just like, what would it look like if the church did a good job of that? Like, hey, we know you were just adopted a child. We want to, you know, bring a meal, or we want to support you in some way as you walk through this journey. We know it's an extra, you know, stress on you. And like, what would it look like if it wasn't just like, oh, that's cool that you guys did that. Like, good luck with that. But really support each other in the efforts that we're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so true, because I was actually talking to one of our deacons at the church I go to the other day, and he was asking me about my situation with my mom. And so I was saying, you know, yeah, well, we could probably use some help in this way and stuff. And he's like, okay, well, yeah, it's just, I'll get back to you, he said, because it's just our list of needs in the church is so long and just not a lot of people, you know, willing to do them. And I'm like, oh, snap, you know. And so it's like, maybe there's a communication problem, or maybe there's a busyness problem or whatever. But I think it's a great opportunity for all of us to say, yeah, you know what, I can't take on all of Uganda, but I can do, I can help someone who's doing something in Uganda, you know, or something like that. So, yeah, that's a great point. So, oh, you guys, we can't even delve into all of these, but this is a great start. And I think, again, we'll link to the article, 10 Marks of a Mature Christian, there on the blog. And again, this isn't some list, as Brandon said, you know, where you're going to check off how good you are or what you're what you're doing. But just a great thing for all of us to remember as we're growing and learning from one another and challenging one another, too, quite frankly, that, you know, we have many areas that we all can grow and encourage one another at the same time. So thanks, you guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.